The GAA program is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
Gee, Vegas Falcher, could you tell anything coming Luke Glasgow in the shock to the show with me, Tom Cormack, as always, which you want to win tonight, and we're here at 9 o'clock. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're heading south to find out what's the word on the street following Cork's, for a strange reason, somewhat surprise victory over Tipperary in the Munster Championship semi-final last Saturday evening. Of course, Cork now await the winners of Clare and Kerry this weekend in the second of those Munster semi-finals. We'll be joined by Paddy Palmer of Cork County Sound to find what are the chances of Clare causing an upset and denying that great old grand finals of Cork and Kerry once again. But also tonight I'm joined by former Donegal chairman PG McGowan. He's one of my special guests tonight. PG is the chairman of the specially appointed committee by Donegal chairman Mick McGrath to run this year's Donegal Golf Classic. The Classic was launched on Monday evening in the Mount Errigan Hotel, and after the launch I spoke to PG McGowan and he told me about the Classic, but I also took the opportunity to find out what the former senior manager and All-Ireland and winning under 21 and vocational school manager thought of Donegal's two wins the day before in Celtic Park. The seniors, of course, had that victory over Derry 2-16 to 0-16, and the under 20s dished out a 17 point hammering to Cavan in a very impressive performance. Niall O'Donnell with a goal and 12 points there. Star man for Donegal, Nathan Boyle, got the other point. So Donegal back in action this weekend again as well. We'll be looking forward to that game in more depth on the Saturday programme. They play Derry in the Ulster under 21 quarter final, the last of the quarter finals. That's a curtain raiser to the Fermanagh Monaghan Ulster Senior Championship final. We'll talk about that maybe a little later, but we'll also have an in-depth look at it at the weekend on the Saturday preview programme. But first tonight we hear from the Donegal manager, or Donegal former Donegal chairman PG McGowan, tell me about the Golf Classic, which is coming up in the next number of weeks.
Well, PG, we're here at the launch this evening of your Golf Classic. You're the man charged with responsibility. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about it?
Thanks, Tom. I suppose I'm the guy that the success or failure of this will end up with. It's a Golf Classic in aid of county team funds that's been held in Balbofinstone Order Golf Club on Friday the 22nd of June, which is just 2 days before the Ulster final, and it'll be really the icing on the cake if we have the under-20s and the seniors playing in an Ulster final 2 days later.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for a good entry. This follows on the back of the success of the competition really run by Philip McGlynn last year to gather funds to help the 92 lads in their All-Ireland weekend in Dublin. So it follows on from that, and we're expecting a good response.
Yeah, and before we maybe talk about the golf, it's certainly probably very timely and good timing, because Donegal are going well, as you say, down the 20s and the seniors both through to Ulster semi-finals and looking quite good for Ulster final places.
They are looking good, Tom. Two very good performances in Derry yesterday, and you know, if our teams are to progress through the championship, that's going to cost money, and we want to try and provide for them as best we possibly can and give them every chance, and I think, you know, this will go well in the way to doing that, and also to helping really our youth footballers come through, because I think we have a great squad of youth players there. And really like to see them being given every opportunity.
Yeah, and of course we have our hurlers in a really key record.
Well, absolutely, they're going well as well, and I mean there's a good hurling squad there, and this Donegal hurling has come on leaps and bounds in recent years, and that's great credit to a number of people that have been working very hard, and great work been done at underage level there too. So all teams really are going fairly well.
Details in terms of costs and teams and all times and everything. Obviously, you did mention there in your address that it's a little bit more expensive than normal.
Yes, well, a lot of golf classics and clubs today would be 100, 120 euro. This is a little bit more expensive at 250 euro and 100 euro for tee sponsorship. But we're confident that with the range of businesses and financial groups out there that support Donegal football and hurling, that you know, we'll get sufficient teams to make this a very viable concern. It is, as I say, a little bit more expensive, but the prizes are going to be excellent. Last year we had McGee jackets. We're looking at something similar this year. We had, I think, 10 great prizes last year. We're looking at something similar this year, and looking after people well on the day. There'll be a meal with wine, two-course meal with wine for everybody who participates. There'll be goodie bags for people going out. There's lots of little knick-knacks and so on. So a good day's golf is guaranteed for anybody who turns up.
And just remind you, it's in Ballybuffet and Stranraer?
It's in Ballybuffet and Stranraer Golf Club on the Friday the 22nd of June.
And again, obviously, the success of the teams may or should make it easier.
Well, yes, one I suppose aids the other, really, and when the teams are going well, I think the mood in the county is that much heightened, and we're hoping that it'll be no different. We're looking forward to having two Donegal teams in Ulster final 2 days after that. But of course, we don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched, but the potential is there. Yeah. So that's what we're working on.
And I suppose back to the games in Derry yesterday, a former All-Ireland under 21 manager, obviously you'd have taken great interest in the under 20s and their performance against Cavan.
Yes, I think they gave a tremendous performance yesterday. A very well prepared team, well drilled, with a fine array of great footballers throughout and a strong bench as well. And I think they set down a marker really for you know, what's possible with this group of players this year. And no stone has been left unturned in their preparations, and I thought the score taken also, Tom, was tremendous yesterday. And Cavan are not a bad side, and really we brushed them away quite easily and could have won more convincingly, but look, we won well at the end of the day, and that's all that matters really.
Yeah, and moving on to the seniors again, another big performance, another big win.
Yeah, it was a good performance, a bit different from the Cavan game in Ballybuffet, with different people coming to fore and maybe some of the stars of Ballybuffet not being so evident yesterday, but nevertheless playing their part. I think we did what we had to do, really, and Derry really needed to score a goal to, you know, prove much of a threat to us, and they never really looked like that. I thought we had some guys who maybe are coming back to themselves a wee bit better. Very impressed with Leo McLoone yesterday. Very impressed with a lot of other performers. Good to see Paddy McGrath back. Needs another game or two under his belt, but no doubt he'll have a big part to play before the year's finished. And that was encouraging from that point of view. So, look, the future's good. We haven't really done too much yesterday, but the way we're playing is positive and encouraging as well, with a variety of ball movements, you know. And I think when Oran McNeillis came on, the attacking capabilities changed considerably, and he was great at picking people out with long or direct ball, and that variety is going to be very useful.
Obviously, moving ahead, they're going to play Down now in the semi-final.
Well, we know what happened with Down and Monaghan last year, where Monaghan were ranked favourites to win that, and we know how Down turned them over. And I hope, you know, we give Down, I'm sure we will give Down the respect that they deserve. They're a county with great tradition. Will be hard to beat, but I think that Donegal are well capable of beating them.
And of course the under-20s are back in action again. They have a very hectic schedule if they keep winning.
Well, it's a difficult time for a lot of these fellas. There's a number of them doing the Leaving Cert, and you have a game next Sunday, the 3rd of June, just before the Leaving Cert starts. Then if they get through that, you have a game right in the middle of the Leaving Cert on the 10th of June. And you know, that really affects preparation, and I know already of some houses where young fellas have said, I want to play, and parents have said, no, you're not playing, Leaving Cert's coming first. So that brings with it a lot of stress and trauma, and it's difficult for young lads, and I think the timing of the competition will have to be looked at next year.
Is it something the GA's got wrong?
It is, no doubt about it. It's something we're going to have to look at the timing of next year. And not just does it affect the three counties, Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan, but the lads in the north, they're doing A-levels from mid-May to the end of June. So that has been looked at. I suppose it was never envisaged that there'd be as many lads of that age playing in under 20 teams.
Yeah, the general feeling was that they'd be out of past leaving, sir.
That's correct, yeah. But that's something that needs to be looked at, and I think they're we'll look at that next year, all right.
And as you said, it'd be very important for your golf classic to have the two teams preparing for an Ulster final.
Well, it would, really. It would highlight it hugely, Tom, and it'd be a massive boost to the county, but of course to the golf classic as well, but the golf classic is there to benefit the teams, and it's the teams who really want to do well never mind the Classic, I suppose.
And a more general question, and this is wearing your football head and your football experience of watching Ulster football down the years. Time was when you could never really predict an Ulster Championship game, and they were always pretty close and pretty tight. We've seen Donegal now with two big wins. We've seen Down with a big win last weekend. Obviously, there was a very tight game between Armagh and Fermanagh and Tyrone and Armagh, but There's a big gap developing there.
There is, Tom. There's no doubt about it. The shock factor that was there in the Ulster Championship is not really there to the same extent anymore. There's a levelling off. And then you have teams like Armagh who have been a major disappointment. Albeit Fermanagh were very good against them, but Armagh looked leaderless, looked very short of ideas. I know Derry played quite well yesterday, but there's a feeling in Derry that they have another group of players behind that that really benefit the team hugely. So the shock factor is not there to the same extent that it was in Ulster. There's a few teams dominating, I suppose Donegal being one of them, Monaghan certainly being one of them, and then we've had Tyrone in recent years, and maybe Tyrone were a bit tired this year, you know, and didn't sparkle to the same extent as they did in the past. But look, they get a few wins behind them through the back door, and I wouldn't like to meet them later on in the year.
Is the Ulster, as the general feeling is among followers inside and outside the province, that it's between Donegal and Monaghan?
I suppose that's the general feeling. There would be folly to actually, you know, think too much about that. But certainly, I suppose that's what pundits would be saying, that it's really between Donegal and Monaghan. Though the Fermanagh people think that they have a chance of turning Monaghan over next week. And you never know. But when you look at the other provinces, Tom, you look at Leinster, and all you can see is Dublin. You have Carlow emerging and beat Kildare yesterday, who might have been fancied as the second best team in Leinster. Munster, you still have the two. Yeah. And Connacht, you have Roscommon, Galway, and maybe to a lesser extent Mayo. So there's been a deterioration or drop in standards really throughout the whole country, I think.
Yeah. And you see Meath going to Longford yesterday and losing as
exactly.
Well.
You know, a traditional county like Meath, it's sad to see it in many ways, you know, and you wonder what's gone wrong in those counties that they've failed to produce players over the years and slipped off, you know. Some counties have kept it going. We had lean periods.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make, is we should be thankful as followers of Donegal that Donegal are up there and are one of the standard bearers.
That's true, Tom, but it doesn't come with it. A lot of hard work at underage level over the years, and that's been happening for a number of years through good development squads and the academies, that players are coming through. But counties that haven't worked at this have suffered, really, big time.
Anyway, finally, one last chance to plug your golf classic. When is it and where is it?
Friday the 22nd of June in Ballybofane, the Norlagh Golf Club. We expect to see lots of teams there, excellent prizes and a good day's crack.
And how, if I want to enter a team, who do I contact? Or
you can contact myself, Noreen Doherty, or any of the committee. There's Frankie Doherty, Philip McLinn. Look, if you want to enter a team, there's posters round about. Each GA club has a poster. Golf clubs have a poster. We'll find a way of including you.
And I'm sure if you ring the golf clubs as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Peter McGowan there, chairman of that special committee set up by Donegal County Board of the GA to run that golf classic. Remember, it's coming up in Ballybofey and Stranorder Golf Club. You got the details there from PG. Just before we go to the break, and of course coming up after the break, we're joined by Paddy Palmer from Cork County Sound down in Munster to see what the word on the street is following Cork's somewhat surprise victory. Not maybe so much the victory itself, but the margin of the victory of Cork over Tipperary in the Munster semi-final at the weekend. Of course, the second of those Munster semi-finals, Clare and Kerry, coming up on this weekend down in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. We'll check in with Paddy to see what's the word in Munster and really what's the view from Munster of the rest of the championship. Of course, it's Galway and Roscommon final in the West, and well, Dublin are looking like if they're going to be going through. I suppose Carlow's been the story so far in the Leinster Championship. That's all to come. But just first, before we go to the break, just to remind you that the Donegal GAA annual evening at the races at Leopardstown Races is on tomorrow week, in actual fact. And well, I was on to Eddie Boy last night, one of the organising committee. I think all the tables are sold. It's €1,000 a table, 10 people at a table. The first race is at 5:30, drinks reception from 4:30, and live entertainment afterwards from the Hothouse Flowers, if you want to go along. I think you still can go along, even though maybe all the tables are booked up, because there's an auction and everything afterwards. So if you're in the capital, or if you're going to the capital next Thursday and the sun is still shining out in Leopardstown, that's the place to be. You meet all your Donegal compatriots. That's the Donegal supporters group in Dublin running that annual golf, or annual night at the races, or evening at the races. That's Leopardstown races. That's real horse racing. There we take a break. But I say, when we come back, we'll be joined by Paddy Palmer from Cork County Sound to see what the word on the street is down in the Munster area.
The GAA programme is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
Falter Rash, Gunnian Clark, coming Luke Glasgow and the Shachtan Shaw, and with me, Tom Comack, as always, on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock, and with Jimmy Shepherd on production here as well. So I'm delighted to see I'm joined now by Paddy Palmer from Cork County Sound, and of course Paddy is watching the Munster Championship with interest, like Tipperary, a Kerry man living and working in Cork, so he's got I suppose it gets awkward when the Munster final comes around. Anyway, first of all, Paddy, a good night to you.
Yeah, well, how are you?
Tell me, what's the word on the street? Cork, maybe some people surprised at the victory last week against Tipperary.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. If I was talking to you this time last week, I would be suggesting that Tipperary were the foreign team when it came to playing Cork over the past couple of years. I think they have stepped ahead of them in terms of league results and championship results. And when you take into account the inside line that Tipperary were operating with, Les Sahabinai, Conor Sweeney, Michael Quinlan and Lee McGrath, most people actually fancied them, and I'd say it was probably the first time in a long time that a Cork team travelled to play a Munster Championship match against Tipperary with wearing the badge of underdogs. But I think there may be a certain bit of complacency about the Tipperary team. Liam Kerrin, the team manager, got involved in a lot of discussion the week previous to about the 7-day turn, the 6-day turnaround that happened because of the war. You know, when they beat Waterford, the Cork and Tipperary game was not meant to be played last weekend. It was meant to be played actually this weekend coming, and because move forward because of clashes with Hurling. But from the word go, Tipperary, they did dominate early on, but they came across Cork goalkeeper Mark White. He's a new kid in the block. He's making his championship debut. He made two outstanding saves, and I think they took the stuffing out of Tipperary to a certain degree, and Cork went on and they played really well, better than I've seen them for a long, long time. They had a nice defensive strategy in place, and you know, people down around this neck of the woods would say, Tom, that Cork are always better as an attacking team. And that's what they did the last night to good effect. Luke Connolly, who was back from his journey with the Nemo Rangers, played really well at corner forward. He got 10 points. Now, you might argue that Tipperary defence or Tipperary management team were a little bit slow in making moves in that quarter. But it was a great victory for Cork because, to be honest, and you know this as well as anybody, that you know, the Cork standing in terms of Gaelic football has dropped down to about 12th in the country. And that was only from people outside of Cork. Within Cork itself, it has taken a serious hammering, like the other sports, hurling, soccer and rugby would be travelling ahead of it. So it was a great result for the Cork footballers. And as you say, it sets them up nicely now for a match against either Kerry or Clare. I suppose we've got to be realistic about it, even though the Clare have improved quite a lot over the past 2 or 3 years. Under Colm Collins, they're doing great work, but like, you'd have to fancy Kerry next Sunday against them. So it looks like an Old Firm derby in the Munster Championship final. So yeah, things are looking great from a Cork football point of view, but definitely a lot better than they were this time last weekend. Ronan McCarthy has come in as manager, and I suppose I should also make the point that since 2014, 76 different players have played for Cork. Now, that kind of turnover usually happens in counties that may struggle to hold on to their county players. You know, it doesn't happen at the very top level. And that was another consideration, like that was, you know, a huge inconsistency. But Ronan McCarthy, he's a shrewd operator. He's a school principal down here, and he seems to have done a good job with his Cork team. And yeah, as you say, we look forward to a real Old Firm derby game now with Kerry in the Munster final.
And tell me, what was the reasoning behind so many players been You know, so many players been used. Were they leaving? Were they been dropped? Was it management problems? I know that Cork have had their management problems down the years.
Well, I suppose, you know, Conor Coonahan was there, and he was the team that he was in charge of the team that won them the All Ireland, and he stepped down in 2013, the end of that year, and then Brian Cooper took over, and he did really well in his first year. And then you may remember they came within an ace of winning a Munster championship. They probably a referee decision that cost them in that, and then he went to a replay. Kerry destroyed him, and then they were beaten by Tipperary, and all of a sudden his position became untenable. And then after that, there was serious problems as regards trying to get somebody to take over. And Padraig Healy, who'd been there in 2010 as a selector, he stepped into the breach. And I'm not too sure that Padraig really, really wanted that job, and it became really challenging for him as well. So he was there for 2 years, and I suppose, look, every manager brings their own stamp of change on it, and I think that contributed as well. In Cork, look, I suppose it's a big county, but sometimes that can be more of a disadvantage than anything else. But there are a lot of players around there, and, you know, a lot of people will tell you today that many players are coached in a similar fashion, and there's a huge amount of the same, if you like, and there would be a lot of footballers that are of the same stature in Cork without any massively brilliant ones at this moment in time. But I think even though the league, there was a bit of experimentation went on as well, but the team that went out last Saturday night, most people that follow Cork football would have been able to predict it. So he has brought a level of consistency into it. There was two championship debutants, the goalie was one and the left cornerback was the other. But other than that, it was, you know, it was a fairly balanced side. It was a fairly regular side to the one that played in the Allianz Football League. Mm.
And I see Aidan Walsh is back as well. Obviously, he's a big player.
He's a big player, but you know something, Tom, like he's been carrying injuries, and he's a committed hurler as well, and his club got to the All-Ireland Intermediate Club final, and they won that. And he was carrying a shoulder injury, and that is a bit of a problem for him. He's not the dominant player that he was in 2010 when I think he was player of the year. Actually, Ian Maguire, who was his midfield partner, is probably no more of a leading player. But at the same time, he has a huge amount of experience about him. And he did play quite well the last day. I suppose another thing I should say about him, Mark White, the scorekeeper that they have, as well as being good in terms of shot blocking, he has a massive kick out, and more often than not, the last night it was more Derek straight down the middle, and the fact that you had 2 big men at midfield and the 2 wing forwards, Kevin O'Driscoll and Rory Dean, were tracking back. It worked out well from that point of view, and they won a lot of their kick-outs. So yeah, Aidan Walsh brings a lot of experience to it, but you know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that he has issues in terms of injuries. And like, it's very hard. He's playing hurling, not at the county level, but his club has seen a hurling team in a place called Duhalla, which is in North Cork. 20 years ago, they didn't know what hurling... Well, I won't say they didn't know what hurling was, but it's certainly not as strong. It wasn't as strong there as it is now. Anthony Nash, the Cork hurling goalkeeper, comes from the same club. But yeah, you're right. Look, he's going to bring something to it, no doubt about that.
And Luke Connolly has been around for a while. I know he had a great season with Nemo, but I suppose this is the first time he's really stood up.
Yes, and like, I suppose towards the end of last year in the county championship, Luke Connolly became a leading player for Nemo Rangers. Now, he is a very talented, gifted individual, but I suppose there was a little bit of consistency issues as well, and I think you made the point yourself, Tom, that, you know, different managers can I suppose, see players in a different light, but he has matured, and he is serious about his business. He is a very talented footballer. Now, I don't think... And I think I made a bit of an error earlier on when I said Cork would be playing Kerry. If it is Kerry, I don't think he's going to get that room. I would imagine against Tipperary that, I'm not saying they didn't know about him, that would be an insult to the team management, but they certainly weren't aware that he had improved as he had. But, you know, no corner forward is going to get that latitude again. Like, he's not a Paddy McBrearty at this stage of his career. Hopefully he will be someday. But he is definitely, look, every top team has these two or three inside scoring forwards, and he's Cox at this moment in time. Colm O'Neill, by the way, you will remember him.
Yeah.
He went off the pitch the last night, and he went down the tunnel, and after the game there was whispers that it was his cruciate, it would have been his fourth cruciate ligament injury, but thankfully it's cartilage, we keep him out for 5 weeks. The guy that came on instead of was Brian Hurley, who was really a talented footballer, but he has suffered this horrific injury twice in the past 3 years. That's where the hamstring comes off the bone. It was the injury, yeah, the career of Paul O'Connell. But this guy, everything is organic football to him. He came on the last night for Conor O'Neill, so it was a kind of a bittersweet occasion. Great to see Brian Hurley back, and with Colm O'Neill, and he got the great goal from a pass from Connolly. But it's good that it's crucial.
And tell me, before we leave that game and look at the final on Sunday, talk to me about Tipperary. Came so close last year, or showed so much promise last year, and by all accounts were dismal on Saturday evening.
They were, and a lot of these Tipperary players now are nearly as well known as the Cork players.
It's better in some cases.
Very disappointing. Now, whether they got caught up in this debate that went on, I don't know whether you saw Liam Kearns losing the rag over the fact that they had to play the game in a 6-day turnaround. When we were doing that radio, the co-commentator was a guy called John Fintan Daly, and he kept making the point that he thought Tipperary were complacent. He thought they were underestimated Cork, and that when the pressure came on, they weren't able to do it. But I'll tell you now, they have the same players. I would expect them, no, maybe we're wrong again, that they should make an impression in the qualifiers. Like they'll come into the qualifier situation in round two, where the beaten semi-finalists will play the winners of the round one qualifiers. They were very, very disappointing. No doubt, no wonder about that. But I think there's another kick in them.
Tell me, Aunt Claire, any chance at all on Sunday against Kerry?
I know that you do an awful lot of betting on the side, and I know that one of two of your listeners are serious betting men, but there'll be nobody backing Kerry on that one. Like, it's on at Fitzgerald Stadium. I know people will say that Kerry haven't been setting the world on fire, but look, at the same time, it's a big ask. Like, Clare play football in a small part of the country, a small part of their county. They are seriously committed, no doubt in the world about it. But I don't think that they'd be up to the Kerry standard just yet.
And tell me, looking at the championship overall, what do you make of it? Looking around the rest of the provinces, obviously Dublin are going to win Leinster. One can bet that as well. I suppose Carlo has been the story of the championship so far.
Well, like Tom, they talk about the hurling, and it's really interesting and all of that. I think if you've seen Kerry and Dublin to play in the World Series or in Florida, and left the rest of the country at home to play the Intercounty Championship, you'd have a massive championship. Look at Leinster. Like, all the matches, they're close, they're competitive. Take Dublin out of it. Those teams are so evenly matched. And Carlow had a great story, because you remember last year they made a great run of the championship. They got promoted to Division 4. They won last Sunday. And their best player, Brendan Murphy,
is in America. Unfortunately, Paddy, we have to leave it there. It was good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Paddy Palmer of Cork County Sound. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford on sound tonight. From me, Tom Cormack, good evening, Shachtan's Huggins, Donald Bannock.